This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
What's up, kids in America and the rest of the world? It's the Trim Healthy Podcast, and it's a great day and whatnot, but I came in to find out that we had a guest in my stead last time.
Sat in your seat.
No, it was not last time, but the time before that, yeah.
Did you wipe the lint off of that seat? She sat right
there. The green lint.
No, this is now a special seat. It has been christened by our friend.
Katie.
And I came in today and saw that everyone had a handwritten note from her saying like thanks and whatnot.
Yeah.
There was one person though out of the group that didn't get a handwritten note.
Yeah.
I mean, even John and Les got a handwritten note.
Even.
Oh my goodness.
Leslie's like, what do you mean even?
Guess?
And Leslie got the first one.
Can you say what not once more just to just seal the deal that you didn't get it? He said what not so many times. Did you count it? Rewind this thing and count it, people.
I'll have to listen back. Actually, I never listen to these. And I'm just curious if you guys can guess who the one person is who didn't get a handwritten letter from Katie.
Well, Danny,
you weren't there.
You weren't here. You decided you had bigger and better things to do. Did you get an invitation to be there?
To the podcast?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
hey, Katie's going to be there, Dan. We'd love you to be there too. What did Dan say to that?
Yeah, I mean, I got an invitation, but to be fair, you know, when the nation calls on me and they need a voice that is high caliber enough to represent a national brand, I've got to say yes.
Yeah, and when the Queen calls Danny and says thou has to be knighted.
No, it just means they were paying bigger Rice bucks Museum. Than we pay, Serene. And you got to feed the fam.
She did a killer intro and she did an impersonation of me.
That's
and as
right.
a thank you for not giving me a note, a personal note, I'd like to respond and return the favor of doing an impersonation of her, doing an impersonation of me.
Okay, I want to hear it.
Is that cool?
Yes. And then Serene and I will rate you.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Trim Healthy Podcast. The sun is out, the birds are chirping, and we're coming at you into your ear holes.
And oh my goodness, the hands.
He did a 10 out of 10.
That was
of the
really
hands.
Good.
Have you seen her in person on like the on the Insta and that, doing the hands?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
oh, okay,
we looked
so you
her
knew.
Up.
Oh, you looked her up.
No, I got tagged.
You totally.
I got tagged. Do you know what that means, Serene?
Serene doesn't know what tagged
means. No, but what did he do?
She's like, tag you.
Because he already... I thought it was just like he was feeling it and that's how
okay,
the
so we have
came.
These super long intros, guys, but I want to cut it off and get to the meat because
get it
I bring
kind of
something
meat you got
today.
Some
I'm bringing something.
You got
no, you're the one that always qualifies your meat. I'm just saying meat and hush.
What?
Okay. So I want to talk today.
I'll rate it at the end.
Girl, I can't see you. There's a laptop.
Oh, John, your laptop is stopping Danny and I from
with
looking
this big
at
non-GMO
one another.
Sticker on the top of it.
It's a cool sticker.
I want to talk about something that really entered my brainwaves a few days ago, and I told Serene about it. And at first, she's like, "Oh,
no, I was not at first.
No, I was no.
That's a lie from the pit of hell."
Excuse me. I'll tell what people what you were.
No, you're making it up.
I was like, "That's awesome."
No.
Yes. Anytime you say you're contemplating, you think maybe it's not so good, but you're a kind person, so you say whom. But then after a while, I sort of talked it out more, and then you're
well,
like,
I had
yes,
one
girl.
Issue with it, and I might bring that up today.
Okay. Yeah. So you were sort of on the fence, but you're being kind about it, and you're like, Pearl, it's, you know, you bring that if you feel. But I did feel, and then at the end, you sort of came around to it. So guys, you might have the same reaction when I bring this to you today. You might be like, Pearl has lost her mind.
Do tell.
But really, I found it.
I found
my mind. And this is going to be about marriage, but it's also going to be about your Trim Healthy Mama journey. I'm going to merge the two.
Ooh,
so,
love these.
Two
I want to start
like
off by
lot.
Saying, people.
You're going to start out by saying where you got this.
I'm going to stop helping me. Stop helping me. I want to start out by saying, if you're married, right now, listening to this, I want to say that you're in an arranged marriage.
Okay.
Now.
Okay.
I Dan's say nervous. This because it's a good thing. And let me tell you why. It all started last week. And I don't want to say too much because this sweet girl listens to our podcast. But this sweet girl is staying at my house. Anyway, I'm trying to set her up.
Well, that's saying a lot.
Well,
she'll know exactly who she is. There's not many sweet girls who are staying at your house.
Yeah, I mean, that quite narrows it down.
Well, she'll forgive me because I'm not saying names and all that. But anyway, listen, I just had an idea. My daughter, Meadow, and I, of a great man we could set her up with. He's a great guy. But, you know, people can go with being set up, or they can think about it, or they can worry about it. So being set up is quite hard for the person that's being set up. For the setters, this year, it's fun.
The setter
I'm the setter.
Yeah.
The settees, maybe it's not so fun because there's a lot of pressure when they have to meet this person and all of that.
It can be a little awkward, yeah.
Yeah, so I was really trying to encourage her, saying what a great guy he is. And in the end, I think she believes he's a great guy, but she's still in the thought process, you know. We're just trying to shove these two people together, and who knows what God will do out of it. But in my head, this is how this whole thing started. I just thought, I just wish I could arrange their marriage because I just know it's going to work, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought, oh, just let me arrange the marriage. And then, you know, I just pushed that thought out of my head because, of course, that's ridiculous, right?
You're right.
But then I thought to myself when I had my shower the next morning when all my greatest brainwaves come, an arranged marriage, ooh, it's a good thing. Because, Pearl, you're in an arranged marriage. Now, hear me out. When you first get married, when you fall in love, you have all of these swirling hormones, neurotransmitters. No, scientists can actually like count these levels and they can see them. And when they do, like when they check your brain and you light it up and all of that, they can see what's going on. And it's a literal thing. Your brain has chemicals and love chemicals and things like that. Well, they say it takes about 18 months.
See, this is where I just totally dish you. And I just like, I don't feel that.
Well, you're sort of, you're not being true to yourself.
No, I am. I've just continued to cultivate it.
I know, but still, I'm going to tell you something.
Well, I
love chemicals. the first ones, they're crush chemicals. They're bliss chemicals, right? I'm not saying you can't get them back, but I'm saying they last scientifically in the human body about 18 months. In a relationship, after that, they go down. And then after that is when the real love stuff starts in my head. Where you cultivate love, where you do love. You don't necessarily wake up feeling it.
Huh.
But you know it.
You know it. But I still feel like, you know, when we've talked about Foxy Mother before, you know how there's different seasons where your hormones actually do kind of decline. But we've talked about when you think about it, when you cultivate it, then they actually can
I'm going to bring that around to the end of this podcast.
That's my point, is I feel like you can keep those, like you actually feel
but just, thank yes, you. It's all going to be good for you in the end with your fears of that.
Scary.
But all I'm saying, let me be honest then. I love my husband. We're 27 years together. But I can't say that I wake up with those same bliss chemicals in the beginning of our relationship where I was just in rapture. You know, it was a feeling. It was a heart flutter. I'm not saying I never get heart flutters now.
Yeah.
But it's different. Come on. Can we be honest, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's a maturity of a...
an age wine difference.
Serene, like, stop it.
Come on.
Stop worrying about it. I'm not putting it down. There's a good thing coming.
You bring it, please.
So then I thought to say to myself, I'm going to look up what happens with arranged marriages. Just because I started to get really interested.
Okay.
Like, what's the divorce rate in arranged marriage? Because in my head, I think arranged marriage...
It's not like you're wanting to start a magazine called Arranged Marriages.
I'm not wanting to... I would hate to have an arranged marriage for me, and I'm not saying it's for everyone because I want everyone to find their own person and have that, you know, be able to be in charge of their own life.
And fall in love with the chemicals first.
Yeah,
what a great magazine title.
Arranged Marriages.
And just
I'm not going to subscribe, Pearl.
Yeah.
But, so I started looking into it. So we all know that the divorce rate in America and most Western countries is between 40 and 50%. Many times, towards 50, half of regular marriages.
I bet you it's gotten worse as time goes on, though.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's what it's currently at.
People are more, the out is more normalized, you see?
The sad thing is, even many of us believers, us Christians, our divorce rate is almost that high.
Yeah, but I think it's because the out has become normalized. You just didn't get divorced back then. You just didn't.
Yes, but Serene, once again, you're steering me off into another path.
Okay, good.
Okay, you take your own potties on your own subjects.
Good on you, mate. Go
for it. I want to stay on this wavelength that I'm at. So about 40 to 50%. Sad, but it happens. Guess what the rate is of arranged marriages?
It's like 10 or 0.
You have your turn, Serene.
I don't like your magazine.
Oh, she doesn't even like this topic.
She doesn't subscribe.
She's like, I'm
no,
not.
I don't mind the arranged marriage topic. It's okay. Just that I want the flutters still there and
I'm
feeling
them. I'm bringing them. So just, just relax.
I'm confident
it's
they will
coming.
Come.
Okay, good.
Goodness sakes.
Fruit salad's still in the air, people.
I'm not talking about married sex either. I'm talking about feelings and neurotransmitters.
Yes, but it's not. You got to keep those feelings or it's the fruit salad's not fun.
Okay,
keep
can
going.
You put her in a corner? Leslie, bell her.
Listen to her sad, muted
okay,
bell.
Well, okay, guess what it is? 4% overall.
4%.
And in India, it's 1%.
Wow.
Now, I want to say this. In India, there are still arranged marriages, about half and half, but half of the people now do modern marriages where they choose their own partner.
Mm.
That divorce rate is about what's going on here.
Yeah.
So it's the arranged marriages, people, that stay together. So I thought to myself, what can I learn from this? Okay.
Right. Because you don't want to learn that you want to go arranging people's marriages. Let's just clarify
that. That's not what I'm trying to learn.
Just for everybody out there, we just want to clarify that. It's not her point she's bringing home. It's not a deli meat slice or her steak.
No, can I guess why they might be?
Yeah, Dad.
Just one guess. Is it because you don't actually have the distraction of the 18-month chemical euphoria to distract you and instead you get down to the work of a relationship?
Yeah, bingo. Bingo. And guess what I think it is? It's that. Absolutely. You get down to the work. It's almost like, this is what I do. Let's make it happen. And along with that is, I'm not relying on my feelings. I don't wake up tomorrow morning wondering
amazing.
If I still love my husband.
So,
because you never started there.
So if Serene there. Was going to bring home your deli meat slice, actually, it's more like a big hunkered roast beef in a crock pot, family-sized crock pot.
Like a honey baked
hilltop family-sized crock pot. I think your point is marriages work when you've chosen. Meaning you've chosen. It's not like you've chosen arranged marriages and you didn't get to choose your point, but you've chosen marriage.
Yeah, you've
See
chosen
what I'm saying?
It.
You haven't necessarily chosen your person, but you've chosen marriage. Meaning you said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make it work.
Yeah, so you don't even ask yourself the question, do I still feel in
right.
love?
Do I love them or not?
I'm just doing love. I'm
Whoa.
Making this work.
That's huge.
I mean, it's huge, it's huge, it's huge, and it's all about the success. I'm going to bring it to THM in a minute, but listen to this study. So they did this study in India where about half are now arranged and half are just doing it themselves. And they looked at love in a conventional marriage versus the arranged. So they used this scale. It's the Rubin Love Scale, where you can measure thoughts and feelings of love. Okay. And so the researchers found that in a non-arranged marriage, the Rubin Love Scale, you all start out high when you first get married, but they decline fairly rapidly. The feelings. Okay, so that was about that 18-month thing that I said. But love in arranged marriages, they start low, fair enough, okay? But then they actually increase. They surpassing that love of the conventional ones by around the 5-year mark. And then 10 years into a marriage, if both couples stay together, the conventional and the arranged, the score on the Rubin Love Scale was twice as strong in the arranged marriage as it was for conventional.
Mm-hmm.
You got to ask yourself why.
Yeah.
But to me, I just said to myself, okay, Pearl, you're in an arranged marriage. And if you're in an arranged marriage,
you're saying you're in an arranged marriage because you're past the 18 months and now you're just a choice.
Now I'm a choice and I wake up and I don't say, oh, I don't feel like I love him anymore. I never ask myself that question. Not that I do, but a lot of people do, right?
Yeah.
I learned to not ask myself that question because feelings are so unreliable.
Well, it depends on the color of the shirt.
Yeah. Depends how he acted to me that day. You see, none of that really matters because I'm doing marriage and I'm making it work. And this is what I've chosen. Like you said, Serene, my marriage, I'm looking at that now. I love wearing this banner. My marriage is an arranged marriage. We arranged to be together. We arranged to stay together. And we're going to go the whole way. And we choose each other. And we don't wake up and say, how do I feel today about this?
And you arrange to cultivate. Girl. I've noticed that. You arrange to cultivate.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like maybe they're not the first 18 month certain chemicals, but I bet you have chemicals because of your arrangement to cultivate that far outplay, just like those arranged people at the 10 year mark. They far outplay, because that's what I was trying to say. I wanted to say that I do experience not just duty in my marriage.
Oh, absolutely.
I experience strong chemicals. They may be different than that, oh, he's at the door, freak out. Yeah. But it's chemicals that do surge strongly.
And I feel those too.
Okay, good.
I mean, that's from cultivation.
Yes.
But they are a little different from the fluff ones, you know. I thought to myself, you know, why does it work so well? And, you know, think about when we marry, when we fall in love, it's all good. I'm still about it, finding your person. But I just feel like the best of both worlds, right? We can learn from these things. You know, you sort of have that person making you feel a certain way. But what about when they don't make you feel that certain way, just because they're not living up to your exact standards, you know? Okay, you are not my everything today. But these other marriages start off saying, you aren't at all my anything. I'm just here to make things work for you. So I'm going to give you the time of day. I'm actually going to give you grace, right? I'm going to find out who you are.
Because to make it work, you've got to give grace.
You do.
Right.
So there's a lot more grace.
So they
given.
Begin with grace. They begin with forgiveness. They begin
they
with
do.
That because they're only here to make it work.
Yeah. So all those things are, well, okay, so when we, you know, in a normal marriage, well, I don't like that about that. That's really bothering me. But in a conventional marriage, you just can't really let it bother you if you're going to be the long haul, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're in an arranged marriage, that thing that bothers you, you're going to have to forgive that and have so much grace for that if you're to do the long haul. Mm-hmm. So it's a mindset. It's like, I've chosen, so I'm not going to let that bother me.
Right.
That's so spot on.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
How many relationships are built on the foundation of how the other person makes you feel?
Yeah.
Like huge. That, I don't know anyone right now that's in single town and has their, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, friends of mine, that, it, except one guy, because we talk like all the time about this, super good guy, and single. Sorry. His name's Jeremy. So, hey, Jer. But yeah, like all the others is like, this person has swept me off my feet.
Yeah.
They make me laugh. It's what they make me do,
yes,
what they make me feel.
You make me laugh. You make me.
Yeah. And you know, I've been married 20 years now, maybe 19.
Good on whatever. You.
But I love rounding it.
I just round it up.
You should.
And all the good stuff is on the other side of like 15 years.
Oh, yeah, it is. Sure.
All the good stuff.
For
like,
sure.
Mm-hmm. Once the, like, I love that the initial chemicals, while they have their place, can be replaced by much more powerful chemicals.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, like love, all love is the action you choose to be consistent with.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what love is. Love isn't
so
the, like if you're describing love as a chemical in your body, it's so cheap because those things go away so fast.
But it's so funny because, you know, our whole culture has idolized the chemical. You know, all the songs about,
every
you know,
movie.
I love you and you make me feel this. You make me feel.
Every film ends with the chemical.
You make me feel. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is you make me feel. But
you know, don't you think the enemy does that though? He perverts something that is meant to be good because we're meant to feel. We are. But he perverts it so that it's just this cheap chemical that can just come and go. But like you said, if you stay in the long haul, if you stay till after those first 15 years, the feelings that you're going to get and the chemicals that aren't this just cheap perversion, they're this real, almost like a deep electrical current, not just a quick little.
It's like a thicker syrup.
Yeah, it is. It's a thicker syrup.
But what's been idolized in our culture is new love, young love. you know, it's idolized. The first moments, the first time I saw your face. I mean, all of it is those bliss chemicals, right? That's what's idolized. That's what's put on a pedestal. Yeah. That's what people seek. People seek the falling in love, right? But you know what I think is missing in our culture, and I want to bring it back,
the
is
letter
to
rain.
Idolize the letter rain, and I want to call it long love. Like you said, Danny, and we wrote this in our I'm That Girl book. You know, I wrote something in there called about I'm That Girl Who Stays Hot for Her Husband.
Yeah.
Right, but the long love, it should have a million poems and songs written on it, about it. It should have stories written about it. It should be on television. It should be put on a pedestal because that's what it's all about. And it, like you said, Danny, it just gets better.
And
like
occasionally it does. And
John,
I just remember,
wants to say
and
something.
And I want John to speak, but I just remember this one thing, this one movie I watched. It's an awful movie because it's so depressing, but there's a beautiful point to it. I forget the name, so I'm not helping anyone out. But there's this long love. It's of this man. He'd been married to his wife just for forever, like over 60 years. And she got dementia. And it was like the first night he realized that she needed help and had to go to a nursing home because, you know, even if he went to the store to get milk for them or if he went to do something in the garden on their farm, she could be stuck in like a corner, lost and didn't know how to even get to the chair. And so he realized she needed help. And it was just that first night sleeping away from her, just that she wasn't lying next to him in the bed, he almost went insane. He couldn't sleep. He freaked. So he ended up bringing a little cot. And every night he'd bring it next to her in her nursing home because he couldn't, so he could hold her hand because he couldn't sleep one night without her. And I'm just going to cry.
John, you.
Oh, yeah. So can I weigh in from like a little bit different perspective?
I'll see.
All right. So,
he's more polite than Dan, though, because when you said I'll see, he almost like, ooh, okay, but Dan be like just plowing right ahead.
I know we can edit this. Anyways, no, when Danny was brought his definition of love, it just made me think like the whole, like you're using that term long love. Mm. Like Dawn and I, like we've always looked at like love as an investment. It's like it doesn't necessarily have to be romantic, like husband and wife love either. I mean, you know, like that, like I have relationships that I would throw into the love category that have gone on for years that I have invested. I mean, I'll use Leslie as an example. Leslie's known my wife and I for years, and it's like there's tons of love there, but there's been investments in that, and it hasn't always been pretty. You know,
anything with Leslie.
Well, you have no idea. No, but to get to that payout, I guess you have to make the investment.
Yeah,
and you can't just even like with wealth, like you can get a lot of money, and you might think that that's wealth, but it's not. But it's kind of like that young love.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. Like you go through this like honeymoon, and it's like, woo!
We're so in love.
But you're really just, if you use like the wealth love analogy, it's like that's not really wealth.
Yeah,
you just have a lot of money.
Yeah,
you know, right.
like so true. You could be dirt poor living in a cardboard box, but if you are surrounded by a loving family that you love and loves you, then you are wealthy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I don't know, just when Danny gave that definition, it just made me realize like, yeah, to get to that long term, you have to treat it as an investment. And some investments go up and down, and sometimes you lose money, and then you make money, and sometimes, like I know, gosh, in my invested love relationships, especially with my wife, which is probably hands down the most valuable of all of my love investments, there's the good and the bad times all is like compound interest. It all added up to where we're at right now.
And
where we're at right now is this amazing, like almost like untouchable. Like there's not even I can't even imagine a day without my wife. I can't imagine like an hour without my wife. Yeah. And I know it's vice versa. And it's like, but it wasn't always there. But like we did the work and we made the investment. Yeah. And now we're at this like great payoff place where I think like as far as love goes, like we are wealthy beyond.
Yes. Worth. I love that. And actually that. You brought around to where I want Serene to go with this now, because
I want to say something before that Serene to go with this now part, because when I think of you and our relationship together, it's almost like I love to think about the fact of what we've hurdled over too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you pulling me down the stairs by my hair when I was a brat 6-year-old, and then the times when we didn't see eye to eye theologically, that. You know, and all the way we disciplined our children was so different, and we wouldn't talk to each other for a couple of weeks because you know, you watched TV and I didn't, and maybe like you thought I should spank so-and-so better, and I don't know. I'm just thinking about it. But all of that.
That's me. I always wanted my brother to spank better.
No, but all of that though,
or not spank,
has just brought us to this place where it's like you said, when you think of just the whole, the intensity of all the investments and the highs and the lows, it brings it to this very large place.
It's so large.
It's large.
It's large and in charge.
Yes, it is.
And when it's in charge, there's no going back.
Because we know how to fight now. We don't even fight because we know it so well. It's not even fun.
It's true. I love looking at our relationship. I would call it, Serene, not to say that we might have differences, opinions. Yeah. I would call our relationship so easy.
Yes.
And even though we've loved each other our whole lives, it wasn't always easy.
No, but I think it takes a long time to get to the easy.
I think it does.
Yes.
What is love if not suffering chosen?
Suffering the chosen, yeah.
No, chosen suffering. Think about that.
Well, yeah.
To choose.
Do you like the word suffering, though?
Yes, I love it because
I love it.
Because love
it,
is long suffering.
Yeah, it is, Dan.
Yeah, that's
right.
A good word.
And, to minimize what you feel on year 17 of giving up and letting go and choosing another.
Yeah.
Like, man, if our country doesn't need something, it's to choose another.
Yeah.
And when you choose another, it so often comes with a very negative chemical of your own loss. Mm. You actually experience in your life the loss, the grief, the not getting one's way, the not having one's fantasy materialized like a microwave God.
I love what Danny's saying, because it's, you know, what did God choose out of everything in life to represent the love that he has for us is marriage, right?
It's chosen
he
suffering.
Chose it. And it's such an interesting representation, because how to make it last and how to get to that long love is to actually suffer the loss, choose loss, right? To choose another over self. Mm. And that's why the arranged marriages work so much, because you've already put self down. Mm-hmm. It's not about your emotion anymore. You've already had to die to that.
To die to the bliss.
And so I'm thinking, and how does our whole spiritual relationship grow? We actually die and we let Christ live inside of us. So we actually put ourselves away, and we live for Christ.
Isn't it amazing how God's principles always work out? You know, the arranged marriage thing. Not that we're doing the arranged marriage magazine.
And not that God says it should be done.
No, he let people choose their own. There was some arrangement in the Bible, but some people chose their own too. I don't think there is any ways best. Yeah. But
the arrangement was probably Old Testament.
Yeah,
Old Testament. Just to put
it's so funny if when you deny yourself, you say, if you go into an arranged marriage, you're denying yourself of all the falling in love and the crush and the woohoo, and yet look what you get 10 years later. Mm-hmm. The harvest, according
like
to that
study. Whoever in the marriage counseling talk before people get married, talk to them about what it means to choose suffering. Yeah. You know, that sounds such like a downer for those chemicals that are flowing so joyfully through their hearts.
Yeah.
But the reality is that you will often grieve the sovereignty lost in your life. Mm. You will think about what you would do if this other person weren't headbutting you.
Do you think you always do? I don't know if you always do. I feel like maybe once that choice is made, maybe it might rear its head from time to time, but I feel like you get better and better at shoving it down.
Oh, yeah, sure. You know? But the thoughts might still come. Man, if I was single, I could eat this every night I would have soup. No, these are my thoughts.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah.
If I didn't have Charlie, this is just some, and I never do that. But sure. Let's just say I wasn't married to Charlie. I would have soup and salad every night and I wouldn't have to cook these casseroles.
That's right.
But and I'll take the casseroles any day.
Right. And so you just become, after X years, right? Like trained with this suffering.
Yeah.
But like me 20 years ago, some of the things that I just forewent on a whim yesterday, just literally looked at it and went, that'll never happen because I'm married. And moved on like that fast with no thought after it. I didn't even feel heartbreak.
Yeah.
I just looked at it, noticed that it won't be happening in my life, and I moved on so easily and without much grief.
Yeah.
But 20 years ago, it would have been a tragedy.
Yes, right.
To think of what I could have done.
The
or
red
would
Ferrari
have done.
Will never be in my
life. Oh, I've already told my sons. I was like, just so you know, like, you could have been a Lamborghini in my life, but I chose you.
Yeah.
So relax and clean your room.
Trim Healthy Mama, product news and notes.
Hey, we want to talk about a new Trim Healthy product that we have really wanted to bring for years. It took us so long to bring it, but we didn't want to mess around bringing you something that wasn't the most powerful.
Look, there are so many. This is a greens powder that we're bringing up. And there are so many greens powders on the market. So why should we blinkin' well bother bringing out a greens powder?
Boy, you are passionate when you say blinkin'. That's your cuss word, I guess.
I'm telling you, why another greens powder? And I'll tell you why. Because we decided to bring out something that is so potent. So potent. We chose the strongest, most healing greens, Moringa and Spirulina.
Yeah, and that's why we've called this product Dynamic Duo Greens Powder, because that's all it is, okay? There's no sweetener, there's no nothing in this. This is hardcore, two of the most powerful greens to detox you, to get you methylating. It works on all your methylating pathways. So high in protein, these greens
are. When spirulina pairs up with Moringa, it makes a green team like no other. They are so incredible. Listen, vitamins A, vitamins B1, B2, B3, E, K, copper, iron, magnesium, calcium, potassium, manganese, and small amounts of almost every other nutrient you need are all in spirulina.
Yeah.
And that's just spirulina. And if we talk about Moringa, Moringa has earned the name of King of Greens. And it is amazing. This plant fights fatigue. It fights anemia. It is a powerhouse of iron, of vitamin A, and it loves on your skin.
Yes. And here's the thing. I mean, you know, we always encourage you guys to eat your salad and eat your greens. And we say green, green, green all the time. But sometimes you just can't get them in, or just sometimes you're choosing other foods. This is a way, especially if you're not eating salad, to take your dose of greens.
And maybe you just don't feel like a salad. Maybe you just feel like a yummy, sweet, frosty.
Yes.
Yeah, like a shake. You can put it in
so how shake. Yeah, so how do you incorporate this? Well, there's a recipe on the back of the bag that you can just take it if you want to get it a dose. Don't just put it in water. It's very strong tasting.
It is so potent that it won't be something that's nice to just gag down with a tablespoon of water and a scoop of this stuff. You need to throw it into something and mask it a little bit, but it's worth it.
Yeah, and there are ways to make it yummy.
Actually, the recipe on the back is simple and delicious.
There is, but you can put it in any shake you're doing, any smoothie. You can put it in ice cream. You can put it in yummy, like superfood balls and bars and treats, anything you
make.
And
the Trim Healthy Future has a few recipes that's already in.
Yeah, so we're excited to bring you this green just to amp up your health even more for this new year, just to take it to that new level. Is Go Green with Dynamic Duo Greens Powder.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Because we don't have that long left. I want to get to bring you around to THM. Because Serene, when I was trying to tell her about, you know, the merits of doing this as a potty, at the end when she brought something out, that was so huge. So Serene, talk about this.
Well, I mean, I was just thinking about it. I was just thinking, hey, there is the bliss chemicals of any diet at the beginning. You get the bliss. You get the honeymoon. It's like, woohoo! Like, boy,
well,
do I love
it. Not for everything, but maybe for Trim Healthy Mama, because some of you are hungry, you don't get bliss.
Yeah, exactly. But like with Trim Healthy Mama, it's like, whoa, yeah! Like fat is back in, butter, yeehaw, cream cheese on my carrot cake.
Oh my goodness, my first sip of GGMS.
They get the GGMS tingle, right? It's like, ooh, it's and it's exciting because it's new and you got all these, you can check out the Pinterest boards and you got the groups to check out and you haven't seen all the videos yet and it's all exciting. But what happens 18 months in when it's just the dirge of every day, like oatmeal or eggs, S or E, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, no, that's cool, because that's when the arranged situation takes place and you're like, no, I'm in this arranged situation. This is how I've arranged for my health to be successful. And I just daily make the choice. And I don't think whether the GGMS tingles me anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't think whether I get like the thrills out of a special, like I've done all the Pinterest desserts and there's, I feel like I'm at the end of my creativity and I'm just now repeating my sweatpants meals. Who cares? You're in a arranged situation. It's going to last.
I know. And that's when the good stuff comes.
Yes.
When you say, I'm arranged. And that's, you know, both parts, marriage and THM or whatever you apply to your life. I think what happens when you decide you're arranged is you don't have that little D word in your backpack. You know, the divorce word.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, it could be that, you know, he's not fulfilling my desires right now in a marriage. So I'm sort of petting that divorce word and putting my hand in the pocket and just feeling it. What does that feel like? The D word, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll even bring it out. Well, maybe we're just not good together. Maybe I'll just say that D
because
word.
Because it will be just negative attention. Maybe that will give me some chemicals.
Yeah. Or maybe I'll just, you know, it's there in my back pocket. And, you know, same with Trim Healthy Mama. Okay. As Danny said, it's not really a diet. It's just a way of eating whole foods. There's nothing removed apart from sugar.
So it's not like divorcing yourself from Trim Healthy Mama, but you could have the D word ditch. Like ditch health food.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm just ditching the health journey.
Or look at those other specimens of diets out there. Look at that keto and how my friend lost 50 pounds. Or look at that keto swelt body and muscles. They're really enticing me right now. You know, or let's look at fasting. Oh, look over my horizon at what's out there for me. If I bring out this little D word and ditch Trim Healthy Mama and try something better. But you see, if you're arranged, it doesn't come up. I'm arranged in my marriage. The D word is not in my vocabulary and it's not in my headspace.
And we're not saying you have to stick with Trim Healthy Mama for the rest of your life. What we're trying to say is stick with sustainability for the rest of your life.
Yeah, but to me, it's one and the same.
Yeah, I know, for us. But we don't want to come out like freak out psychos.
No, we don't want to.
Yeah, so you're saying you're not self-promoting.
Yeah, I'm not self-promoting. What I'm trying to say is don't ditch what your balance is. Don't ditch it for a one-night stand with keto, which isn't sustainable because it's only one kind of fuel type. You know, or don't ditch it for something which is sabotaging your health journey in the long run because it's just a fast 24-day stint of something.
And we're preaching both here at the same time. We're going back and forth, interweaving marriage, healthy eating, whatever. But if you have that little divorce word in your marriage and you keep feeling it out and stuff, why don't you throw it out of your pocket for good?
Yeah.
Why don't you take it out of your vocabulary and just be in an arranged marriage because you've chosen.
And and I don't know how this perfectly works out. I haven't perfectly like.
Hold on,
it out.
I've got to say that my caveat. Yes, we discussed that. Not caveat. I used to call caveat.
Yeah.
Is
caveat.
I'm talking that you have a reasonable guy here that he's not currently cheating on you or bashing you. Those two things. I'm not talking about that. So that's
right.
Different.
If I was being cheated and bashed on,
I would
say separation.
Yeah.
And I would put the S word big time and he wouldn't be in my house.
Yeah. That's not
but that
we
doesn't
mean
I'm not soft towards the Lord for reconciliation and be a forgiveness person if it's right.
Yeah.
But anyway, what were you going to say, Dan?
That's not what we mean by suffering.
No,
exactly, Dan.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
No, and I'm not trying
to letters. And I don't know how this is fully going to come out because it may not totally relate. But if you're not playing with that ditch word in your pocket or D word in your pocket when it comes to Trim Healthy Mama, you can go on vacay and you're not scared of having a treat or having like, you know, what would you want to have? Something, I don't know, like
but
queso
that is
with
still
your corn
Trim
chips.
Healthy Mama.
No.
Yeah.
But because Trim Healthy Mama is being able to do treats.
Yeah.
But you're not scared because you're not even, you know, when you get back home.
Yeah.
So it doesn't fully relate exactly, but you know that you're not ever going to ditch.
Yeah.
So you're not scared of the return.
Yeah, it's true.
I've actually been working on you're going to hate this.
Yeah.
A non-religious case for marriage.
Okay.
Because so many people I know are like, yeah, I get your historic Christian thing or idea that you've come from. And that's where that comes from.
But I don't think you can remove marriage.
No, but
from
I'd like
Christ.
To hear this. Guess why, Serene? Mm. Less people are getting married. But let's just remove all the biblical parts to it and let's hear the case for it. Because
I'll
I
hear
think
the case.
I want to hear it.
Well, I have gosh, I could go down like 40 points, but I'm not. Just one, okay? Just one of my 40 thesis. Is it 39 I should have? Anyway.
First of all, why are you wanting to move Christ from it?
No, I didn't say Christ.
No, he's just saying religion. It's for Leslie Popsis. Okay.
There's Leslie
She's not of our faith, but do you want Leslie to get married in your heart of hearts?
Oh, heart of hearts.
Well, then let's hear the case.
So, number one is, and this is in the full case, not conclusive, but one idea is that when you don't have an out as an option, when it's non-optional, you must go through. You can't go around. You can't turn away and go the other direction. You must go through. It is shocking the level of creativity that opens up for you. And what happens is when you have options, it is so like you will have a series of neurons fire, perhaps a million, that eventually lead you to this conclusion that this is the only way. This divorce is the only way.
Can I just interrupt? And it might offend people because I don't even care. You can take a billion epidurals. Bless your soul. Nothing sinful about it. But I just want to speak to a natural birth here.
Okay, but did he finish his point?
No, but it goes to the point.
Okay,
it's
you're middle of the point because I didn't get to that.
We'll full circle it. Okay.
Well, the point is that if you don't have an out, you can get so creative and you can make it through to the end. But once you think of an out and think that you have an out, then all that creativity goes away and all you have is this persuasiveness in your head that the out is the only way.
Yeah.
Think of transition, Pearl.
Of birth,
when you're
yes.
in transition and you know you cannot go back, you're fully dilated. You cannot go back. The only way forward is to go through that pain. And you've made this decision that there is no E word. You're not playing with the E cards.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. But I'm just using it as an example.
Well, for those who want to have
you will get creative. Yeah. You will try on all fours like a dog.
Yeah.
You might try like half in a cartwheel with like somebody punching your arm at the same time to distract you from the pain. You will get creative because you know the only way to make it through is to just make it through.
Yeah.
But when you know that you can have an E and you haven't decided, you didn't sign, you make your husband
E
sign,
stands for epidural, not energizing meal. Okay.
No, yes. Exactly. But if you haven't decided, made your birth plan, like no matter what, husband, don't let me, I don't want it. And how many times I scream for it. What I want, my heart of hearts, is a natural birth.
Yeah.
When you don't sign for the epidural, when you haven't worked that out beforehand, the temptation will come and you will choose it no matter what, because there's an out. And whenever there's an out, you will choose it.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Even at the birth center, you know, where you had your baby, Meadow had a baby, and it's a place where you go to have a natural birth.
Mm-hmm.
Still, the percentage of natural births is still low. I think only about 20%. And everyone there still gets epidurals. I'm not looking down on anyone. But all I'm saying...
I mean, I would totally get one.
All I'm saying
I'm not against epidurals.
If there's a back of the book choice, then it's like marriage. If you're fiddling with the D word at all, it's so handy. It's so handy. The epidural is so handy. And divorce is not like epidural, but it's just a metaphor.
A metaphor for when you have a choice there, you will take the choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because when times get rough, why not take the choice? But if you're have got a mindset, I have no choice, then guess what? You're just going to follow through because you don't have an out. So you got to keep on the road.
Well, the question is why suffer? And that's what the divorce box addresses.
Is
if you have a box, a potential for that, you will fill it. You will for sure fill it. Yeah. There will be, I can promise you this, boo-boo.
Yeah.
After 20 years of marriage, there will be frequent, valid reasons to put a ticket in that box.
Yeah.
It will come up. For some, it comes up month one. For others, it doesn't come up till year seven.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, if you engage in this idea of long-term commitment that we have historically called marriage, this idea of an unbreakable covenant, you absolutely have to, along with that, completely remove any outs or options, because there's a revelation with this, in that what you have embarked on is not like, as long as you're looking at it like a business contract. Mm-hmm. See, it's the difference between contracts and covenants. When you're, John's exploding.
John
over
is
here.
Like, literally.
John literally has like a couple books pre-written already on this topic, just so everybody knows.
I love that covenant is different than a contract. I love it.
Yeah. So we get in this idea.
But
John
I'm
can
being
take
preached
over
to right
point.
Now. What you're
you
saying,
take over, John?
No, it's so good. It's so good because I'm about it. To willingly. Oh, but you know what? But as you take the mic, I want to say this because it's ministering to my heart.
Yes, to me too.
All of us don't want to suffer, right? We try to avoid it. But now what Danny's saying with this whole arranged marriage, taking the D word out, do you know we're going to suffer some in marriage? Because Christ suffered and it's a type, right? For the first time in my life, I just got this little ping, heart flutter of joy about any suffering I go through in marriage. Yes. Bring it. Bring it.
Yes.
Now I don't care anymore. I always tried to, oh, this is a bit of suffering. Oh, poor me. I'm not going to divorce, but oh, poor me. I suffer. What if I jolly well embrace it and love it?
Because laying down your life will feel like suffering from time to time.
Oh, he's speaking it. Look, he's speaking it.
Laying down your life is the thickest of all endorphin syrups you could ever
guess
experience.
Why? Because it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Yeah, go, John.
Oh, I just wanted to, like, I'm sitting here jumping up and down at what Danny's saying because this is, like, so up my alley. And I know this might even, this will definitely rub some people wrong to hear this, and I don't mean it this way, but this is a fact. This is a legal fact. There are two types of marriages. There are commercial government marriages when you bring the state in and you certify it and you turn it into a commercial entity. And then there are traditional covenant-based marriages. And some of those covenant-based marriages involve religious entities and faith and all. But a covenant, you can make a covenant with anybody. We can make a covenant that we're going to meet in this room every day on this year and have a cup of coffee together. And that covenant is only as strong as Danny and I make that covenant be. But you don't get out of a covenant. You can flake. You can be irresponsible with your covenant, but you can't get out. There's no mechanism to get out of a covenant. Only in a commercial situation, and divorce is a commercial move.
Oh, well, you're right about
that. It's an absolute commercial move. So I am in a traditional marriage. We did not, Dawn and I did not invite the state of Tennessee to our marriage. Mm. So we have a traditional covenant-based marriage. So divorce isn't even an option.
And we're not saying if you've had, I signed a registry with my state and that's all. We're not saying that you're weird if you do.
But
we can
all
see it as
a
covenant and do that at the same time.
Yeah, but you kind of can't, I mean, if you're talking covenant, if you truly have a covenant-based marriage, divorce isn't an option.
Yeah.
It's only an
because
option.
Because a piece of paper doesn't mean anything to you either.
It's only an option in a commercial
because
setting.
Because a piece of paper is a divorce and piece of paper is
a marriage.
But what you're not saying is if you've been divorced, you're awful because, John's been divorced. There's divorce in our family, but we learn as we go, right? We come into broader, broader truths, better truths.
When you hear this, often a big question comes up. So do you expect me to then remain with this person and not be happy the rest of my life? And that is the language. Mm-hmm. That is the language of a contract mind versus mm-hmm. a covenant mind.
Yes, it is.
The fact that you're asking that question, you have already eliminated the possibility of creativity, of actually getting creative, doing the work with this person who now looks like a tree frog, but used to look like a prince, right?
Yeah.
Like was on a literal white horse, probably at your big wedding. Yeah. Like often people with the biggest weddings, like the most elaborate weddings. Yeah. I had an elaborate wedding, so I'll calm down. I went all out. I had a choir sing at my wedding,
I can imagine.
Yeah, we like took over this whole space. And I mean, it was like Southern choir. Okay. So the point is when this, in this covenant mindset, when you've eliminated the options, you no longer are saying, you wouldn't even say, well, what am I supposed to do? Be miserable the rest of my life? Because instead you're in a creative mind because covenants are creative. And you're saying, what conversation do I need to have with this person so that we can get over this and get back to those fun date nights and all that stuff? You're constantly at work to
so great.
Yeah, and you become strong in
suffering.
And your
muscle gets good. That muscle mm-hmm. that creative muscle to work through yeah. things gets really
to where you can
good.
Even go first. To where yeah. you're both like you know, you're like back to back in the bed or whatever, and then your toe accidentally touches and you're like, oh God, that's the worst. We're in a fight right now. We can't believe my toe just touched. Some intimate motion has happened yeah. and it's not on plan with our fight. You know, and it's like all of a sudden, like you can actually just roll over and be like, gotcha, and just yeah. go first and just start tickling somebody or whatever right. you need to do
yeah.
to like have that convo.
Yes.
You know, because yeah. you're in a covenant mindset and you know that you have power over your relationship.
Yes.
Like when you're in a contract, preach. Contracts are so often disempowering because yeah. you are held to a thing in spite of your will.
I'm not saying right? people should do this at all.
Yeah,
but Sam and I have this thing where we're never going to go to bed on our wrath, right? Yeah. So we've had a situation where
so good.
The old King James yeah. wrath. We've had a situation before where
Americans call
where
it
he
wrath.
Went to bed and I felt like we weren't solved fully.
Yeah.
So I just got a cold cup of water and just poured it on him. And I'm like, we cannot go to sleep until we solve it.
You got creative.
And then maybe we got to a standstill and it was tired and we'd been hours talking and I fell asleep. Cold cup of water for me. We have this thing. We're not yes. going to settle. We're not done. We don't take a break
yeah.
and then just go off for a couple of days and take a break and then think that break is going to help out.
Yeah.
You got to get creative and get to the truth.
You know what 90% like of like people's relationship problems is there just butt hurt? Do you understand that term?
No, I don't know. But it made a very interesting image in my head.
It's somebody like slapped
it, it
you on
It made a
the,
hemorrhoid image.
It's very hemorrhoidal.
Okay.
Somebody slapped you on the behind. Your little booty's sore. And it's not a big deal. It's like you're just butt hurt. You're hurt in a place that doesn't, it's not lasting. It's just a little spank or something.
Yeah.
You know, and it's this idea of, in fact, guys that work out a lot use the phrase. It's this idea of that you're hurt, but in a pathetic way where okay. you shouldn't be.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, dude, 90% of our, like give it a week later. And when you look back, you find that 90% of our big unsolvable problems are just this butthurt ego.
Yeah. And it's like what the Bible calls, you know, the record of wrongs. It says, don't keep it.
Yeah.
You know, don't keep those record of wrongs.
Yeah, women.
They're going to wrong kept, you.
Yeah, our humans are going to yeah, wrong
yeah,
each
mostly
other.
Mostly women.
Yeah, mostly. And you're right. My husband, I swear he's been blessed by God with this forgetfulness.
Yeah.
I'll even bring up things right. I did and he honestly can't remember them. It like his brain removes it once we're solved and we have to solve some things. It goes out of his brain. Now mine, I can recall some things and I used to, I think, keep a record of wrongs. They'd come back and they would be my preciouses.
Your precious.
And I'd dwell on them. Now.
It'd be like your rosary beads?
Yes. Yeah, feel them all up.
Guys, I feel like this podcast needs to be shared with somebody for you listening, our friends. Like, you got people looking to get married. Like, I would say some pretty solid foundational stuff was
or
shared.
Or people
today.
Looking to get divorced.
I just love this whole concept. I love the rings on our fingers here, the ones that are married here in this room, because there is no, you know, the toe rings you buy at like you put your 25 cents in and you get a little ring and it's for all sizes. So it like, it has an opening and you can just stretch it and open it so you can get out and get in and get out and get in. I love the fact that there's no break to this ring. It's this full constancy, round and around and around and around. There's no opening. Yeah. There's no out. Mm. And I love that. And actually, my wedding ring, and our mum's even more than mine. I think I could yank mine off if I tried hard enough. But you know our mother's? She's been married for, over 60 years now? Yeah. You can't get it off of a finger. You'd have to cut it off.
Right.
Her knuckle has just grown larger than the ring. You cannot
like
remove
a tree
it.
That grows
and
around
mine is
a
slightly
fence.
Like that, where the knuckle is now bigger than the ring somehow.
Really?
Yeah.
Mine comes off and on.
Yeah.
Oh.
But anyway.
We flexing now, Pearl?
Yeah.
We flexing.
It's like saying, I don't have puffiness in my fingers.
No, it's not puffy. It's just a change of just the knuckle.
She's somehow. Like, oh, little sister, are you swollen?
Yeah,
so sisterly.
I think we're good, guys. So yeah, no more D word.
Trim up your mama my way, and then I'll be trim up your mama.